Yo ho.
Hey
guys.
Hi Andrew.
Hey Andrew.
Hey Mark, hey Tim.
Hello. Good day, sir.
Awesome.
Everyone's early tonight.
7:58 Thursday, February 4th, not the year of your Lord 2021.
Not the year of my Lord. What about Andrew's Lord?
Andrew, do you have a Lord?
Ooh, do I have a Lord? I don't know. You're starting with the tough questions.
That means he doesn't want to answer it publicly. I know Andrew a little bit now.
No, right. I don't know. It's just a very religious topic. We can get into that. I mean, I believe in God. So, anyways,
well, that's
have to go
good.
Down that rabbit hole.
Last week, I asked him, I said, why is it that you and David Knight always say the year of the Lord? Like, they give the date and then they say the year of the Lord. And Tim said he didn't know why he did that.
But no, I said I heard someone else say it. I always lift things from other podcasters and radio personalities. I don't have any original ideas.
You always put yourself down like that. You sound like my son. That's ridiculous. You do have a lot of it. Stop putting yourself down like that.
That's
I give
right.
you permission not to do that.
Yeah, but if you have no original ideas, then the saying no one has any original ideas probably applies. Right?
Well, probably. We all just – I grab ideas and I lift them wholesale many times. And sometimes I modify them a bit. Now, is there any reason why we're in this group call with Mark Tokarski? Because he's not here.
He left a long message for me.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so I just replied to that, and then you came in.
Yeah.
Skype is weird like that.
Okay.
I mean, are you worried about that?
I'm not worried, but I'm just wondering why you did that, if you did it deliberately. Because now
I did not do it deliberately. Yeah, I don't like having four people.
Mark Tokarski going to get a bunch of like notifications on his phone or something.
Oh, that's true. No.
He probably doesn't have a smartphone. Well, maybe I think it. Maybe everyone does now. He's pretty hip, but maybe
I enjoyed the conversation you guys had. Very, very good.
Oh, thank you, thank you,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So is this a regular truth talk with you two? Is that what we're in?
What we do is every week we had several other people before and they've dropped because they are into QAnon. And because of what happened, I don't know if they're embarrassed or I don't know what the deal is. They're no longer wanting to talk. So now it's just Andrew and I again. And we basically go half and half. We talk about truth for the first half. And then we get into exclave happenings. But when we do something with you, you know, we can put that on. That's why I suggested doing something every other week so we can maybe split it up.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
My schedule has lightened in the last little bit due to COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I got mixed emotions about because sometimes people like workaholics like me need to be forced into a break. That's the way I look at this now.
Mm-hmm.
So I may even start doing more regular audios. And I was just thinking if I did just for an hour to summarize the day's news that I find interesting and just open the phone line up for phone calls. And I was going to experiment with StreamYard or something just to see if I could get any. I just like the idea of getting those super chats. I think they're neat. I want to see how I just want to see if that is something that's very spontaneous with people. If they think, oh, this is a good call, I'll give $2. I just want to see how real that is in terms of people's interest in supporting. See how frictionless that is.
Because I think in the short term that would work, and I think you could probably make more money. I don't know how much you make at your job right now, but I guarantee you would make some pretty significant money. If you went on and did a YouTube thing and but I don't think that's a long-term thing. I don't even think it's a medium-term thing. I mean, I think that could be like months away from everything being shut down.
I have no idea. Well, I don't think FakoTube is going to get shut down. At least I hope it won't.
Oh, no. I'm talking about like if you go on – if you restream or you go into YouTube or Facebook and talk about the things that you talk about, no.
Well, I would just have to keep moving around for the alternate platforms.
Right.
Which I could
do.
Well, IPS is pretty good at it.
And yeah, but I never listen to the guy because I never know when he's on.
Well, you're not a Patreon of his. If you spend $1 a month with him, you'll get his emails from Patreon. And that's if everything goes down, I'm pretty sure email is going to stay intact. So if everyone uses email technology, which is pretty old, and Dr. Shiva says he invented it, that's fine. But it doesn't matter. It works. It's quite reliable. And everyone should go spend $10 a month and get their own server as well. So you
see, I just totally disagree with that. I hate to start off disagreeing.
Disagree with what?
Email is one of the most blocked things on the internet.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I agree. There's a lot of filtering if you use different spam filters. I agree.
More targeted to like the e-marketing groups that would like take advantage of certain rules. But something small, you even think that, Mark, will get targeted by different like service provider?
It's true.
It is true.
Well, I have a quick story. Mine's very minor. It's probably not as good as yours. No, I just sent an email to somebody and it came back and it said my IP was blocked by their cloud email filtering service. So then I had to resent it using the Google Gmail server. It was not a big deal, but I was quite offended that my IP was blocked. And then you can appeal that and send a form in and all that kind of crap, but I just switched servers just like anyone can do that. I can still use Gmail as my server to send my stuff.
The problem with your server is if you are using shared hosting services, now you've got – if someone else is on the blacklist, you're on the blacklist. There's so many problems with it.
No, I have my own IP for that.
Okay.
I pay a whopping $2 a month. I think they forgot to bill me too for your own IP. And I can change that too. If that gets blocked, I'll just tell them to change it.
I don't think that's the way it works. I think if you have your own IP, it's different than – if you're on a shared host.
No, but they can give you your own IP even if you're on a shared host.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. What they do is they look at your block. The spam.
Oh, I see.
The block you're on.
So they'll look at the first three or two parts of the. Yeah, well.
Actually, it's not three. If you have an old, you know.
IP4.
IP4.
Right.
It's the first set of three.
Okay.
I think they look at.
Well.
I'm telling you, dude.
Well, I know you do all that. You do all that marketing.
No, I here's a quick story. I had a Weber. I paid a lot of money to send out emails every time I'd send them out.
Okay.
And I was kicked off at AWeber because one person clicked the "this is spam" button on Gmail. And AWeber's like, that'll do it. If one person does that, we have to take you off the entire service.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it came down to. Crazy.
Listen, there's always people blocking and there's always people unblocking. It's just a cat and mouse game. It never ends. And I love when they start cracking down, because just like everything else, things get stagnant, the swamp starts to stink, and innovation starts up again. It's just a cycle. So I hope everyone is kicked off of YouTube. And then all of a sudden, the other platforms will get off their butts and start meeting the market. That's supposed to be what free enterprise, capitalistic, small business meeting needs is all about. That's what it's supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love it if it worked that way.
Andrew, you're into the – that's your job. Do you have anything to add to email being the way to go?
I think I agree overall with the kind of theme that people will adapt and rise to the technical challenges, and there usually should be a technical workaround. Definitely adds a hurdle that everybody has to kind of deal with. In general, as far as like monopoly influences on the free market, obviously there's like certain barriers to entry, certain competitive advantages that are given to the big boys that make it more challenging. So what did we see? We saw Telegram rise to half a billion users, and aren't they in jeopardy? I haven't really been staying up to date, but anybody been following?
I don't think they're in jeopardy. Apple, which I don't like, And now Marcus knows again why I don't like them. They just said they're going to auto-delete, if you have that setting left open, which most people do, any app they don't like off your phone, which I think is tyrannical.
So that's got to be close to half their user base.
Oh, it's got to be more than that. Most of them. Most people wouldn't even have a clue how to turn that off.
You don't think there's like 50-50 Android users or like international?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'm not sure what the split is. I think Apple's very dominant in the smartphone market. It could be 70%. It's very high. It's distressing.
Right. So how can a company like Telegram continue to exist if people can't use this software on their device, right?
Well, yeah, it'll be hard.
It's not hard. I don't understand why they don't have a web app.
Mm-hmm. They could.
Of course they could. That's what we're doing at Xclave. We're not going to have we're not going to get Apple's permission to start our own thing. We're going to do it from our website.
Mm-hmm.
You can make responsive websites that look great on your phone.
Yes, you can. That's totally true.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't feel bad for Telegram and Parler and all those where, they're censoring us. Well, just go to your website. Now, here's what I worry about. I worry about once our websites are censored, which is a very easy thing to do in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Your web hosting company can take you down. The DNS provider can take you down. Cloudflare can take you down.
Mm-hmm.
They can make it so you can't get a secured an SSL server.
A certificate, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways that they can take you down. That's what I fear, honestly.
But are there workarounds to like each one of those challenges?
Sure. Yeah. As long as you got a wire hooked up to the network, someone can get through. It's just a question of, are you going to have the widespread ease of use for the average person?
Right.
And if you're... Yeah, if you're hard to get to, even if you are easy to get to, you can be invisible to a Google search. I pretty much am.
Right.
And again, so most people think to type in a website, they have to go to Google to type it in.
Right.
It's so crazy.
Spell checks it for you, yeah.
No, they'll type in the address in the Google search. They don't even know. I mean, you go to the top bar.
Most people do that because they want Google to spell check the domain.
Well, maybe, or that the Chrome browser turns the URL input area into a search automatically. Mm-hmm. So I have to admit, I've used that in the past too. But yeah, it's all for your convenience, but convenience has a cost, and the cost is control.
Mm-hmm. And I think adding the email list it's like diversifying your risk. It's kind of taking advantage of multiple different options, different contingency plans, right? So, like, I guess just to answer your question, Mark, that's my take. It's like it doesn't hurt to expand your options and have backup plans. But do you have a better alternative? Like, how would you maintain contact?
I just read today, in fact, on Hacker News or something like that, that someone invented this automatic sniffer website type of thing for Signal. Like Signal is down in Iran. Mm-hmm. So someone came up with this way where anyone with a VPS can host this automatic domain sniffer that will repoint to Telegram and circumvent Iran, kind of like a VPN. So there's got to be some kind of something out there that will get around all this. I mean, that's what hackers do.
Yeah, and it won't take long. There's always
some
hacks.
Type of like peer-to-peer connection across like members or something. There's got to be something.
I mean,
something
why not?
Like
yeah.
But it will be hard to – you'll have to work to get it and obtain it. So the masses will be denied the service. They'll have to know someone who knows how to fix it. It's just like – finding a good mechanic that can fix your car. Sometimes, back in the old days when cars really needed to be fixed, I'd go from place to place with a problem because I always had old cars and most of the guys had no idea. And then you get to one guy, you say, oh yeah, I know that noise. Mm-hmm. It's this. Okay. Yeah. It's just experience. That's all it is. So someone's right. experienced it once. Oh yeah, I know that clunking noise. Yeah, that's always this. Mm-hmm. And then he becomes your mechanic for life. That's usually how I worked. Mm-hmm. I said, if you could fix this problem that four other guys could not. So same with technology. I can see the day when my Google phone is going to be all blocked and they're going to be deleting stuff. And then I'll have to go to the whatever underground phone is and get that.
Yeah, Grant Cardone calls that being mercurial, mm-hmm. kind of like Mercury, where you're just kind of weaving through, you know, ditching and dodging your way through life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you make it. So I agree with that.
I don't
you
have mind. To
be very flexible. Yeah.
Like, I don't mind change. I don't even mind the great reset in the sense, but I hate the idea that someone is going to force a medical procedure on me so I can just live life. That I don't like. But I'm hoping that that is just going to be a forever threat just to keep people moving. But I'm not positive on that. But I do like change. And Jeff was talking about this today, the dollar vigilante on a seminar. And,
I did.
Well, actually, I was in the middle of paying and then I changed my mind. Uh-huh. And PayPal, I didn't even put submit and then it put it through. I was eating breakfast. I got a confirmation. So I was going to cancel because I found another way, but I figured.
I think it's cool. I mean, that's a good investment. That's good intel.
Well, yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, it, so like, I'm not saying you have to believe everything they say or adopt all of their recommendations, but like.
No, but I found a workaround to paying. That's what I was trying to say. But gotcha. PayPal, for some reason, put half of the charge through and it just went through the whole thing. So the point, what he was saying though is, or one of the speakers was saying today, and that is that you should make changes for privacy. And he was suggesting make one, because most people hate change. I like change, but most people can't do it. They can't stand it. But he was saying make one technological change to increase your privacy. So if that means getting an email server, do it. And then 6 months later, do another thing, like change your browser, do another thing, and mm-hmm. then you'll have changed. I personally could change everything at once. So I'm using the Brave browser now. And if someone has a better browser, I'll just change. It's no problem. It takes me minutes. If someone has a better email, I'll change. If someone has a better way to link to my website, I can change. If I have to go put my site on Onion so the Tor browser can find it, I could do that.
Did they get into like blockchain as a technology and how it applies to privacy? Because that's one of the trends that I've heard, like from these, you know, these trends gurus to try to tell you like what the next big wave is. And it's all.
I'll tell you one thing: the technology is not very good for web seminars. But I was mobile, so mine was cutting out all the time. It was frustrating, but that's another reason I didn't really want to use it because I knew I wouldn't be able to pay attention. But they did get into that a bit. My guess is they're really pumping Monero because, as Marcus has said in the past, Bitcoin has an open ledger. So it's pretty easy to just go through the blockchain and see what all the transactions, where Monero is quite a level deeper where it's much harder. They have this ring technology where they can scramble the pathway, that kind of thing.
And they would be considered like the biggest privacy coin on the market today, right?
I think it might be. I'm not sure of the ranking, but it's up there.
No, Bitcoin Cash is because you can do what's known as it has built-in shuffling.
Well, it didn't come up. So they're pushing Monero.
Yeah, because I think he had a falling out with Roger Ver of Bitcoin Cash.
Maybe, but I don't really know the ins and outs of what's happening, but as a rule, and I'm not really interested in all the technology that much. I don't think the average person is either. They just want it to work. They want to stay away. They want to keep it away from the government. They don't want the IRS snooping. Everyone has their own motivations, so.
Right. So let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
On your blog, in a comment, Mm-hmm. Someone said, hey, what's Marcus talking about with Jeff being not so
yeah,
good?
One person heard that comment, yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this question. This is a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Performative.
Not a performative, not a hypothetical. It's a question where you don't even want the answer.
Uh-huh.
What's that called?
It's a question where you don't want the answer?
Yeah, not a hypothetical. It's a, shit.
I don't know.
Anyway, I'll come
a negathetical?
No. both my sons will blurt it out in a second because I'm constantly asking.
Well, where are they? Get them up to the mic.
They're at their grandparents.
Oh, okay. Call them up. Conference them in.
It'll come to me. Damn, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Are they streaming the show? Fake11.com/stream1. They can call in.
What was that address again?
Fake11.com/stream1.
You got to say it slower. Fake11.1.
Fake11.com.
It's rhetorical.
/stream1.
I had to look that up too.
Thank you
for it.
It was on
the tip of my tongue and I could not.
Oh, okay. It's a rhetorical question where.
So here's my rhetorical question about Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for you, Tim. If Jeff, by the way, he pretty much gave away how much he's worth on his last video. I don't know if you caught that.
Nah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what he said. If he's so rich, he keeps talking about how well he's doing.
Yeah.
How much money he's making.
I know. Why is he selling seminars? That's what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Well, it's cash flow. And if there's nothing wrong with wanting to make more money. I knew that was what you're going to talk about.
No, and that's just one of many.
But that does contradict one of your key tenets, which is like you should everything that you provide should have associated value you receive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't knock him for putting a price tag on his information.
No, I'm not knocking him at all for that. In fact, I think he should. In fact, I'm very concerned why it's so cheap. That's actually what my concern is. It's way too cheap for what he's offering.
Mm-hmm.
If he's making people rich, why is he charging $99 for a seminar?
Well, that's just the entry price. That's why I stopped while I was paying, because the upsells were all over the screen, and that's when I walked away. And then when I came back, the thing went through. I found it very annoying.
Right. So he basically said in his last video that he's basically worth $600,000.
Okay, I didn't hear that at all.
Yeah, he said, I'm going into silver. I'm trying to remember what he said. I'm going into silver. So I'm about 5% into silver, maybe a little bit less. So I threw a Bitcoin, which is $30,000, 5% inverse of that into one is times 20. $30,000 for Bitcoin times 20 is $600,000.
Yes, I doubt he would. I doubt that. It doesn't even matter what he's worth.
No, it totally matters because.
No.
Well, he's selling the idea that he's rich.
Mm-hmm. But he's also. Today he said he lost everything on a chilly real estate deal. There's lots of guys like him.
No way.
Years ago. So lots of entrepreneurs have gone completely flat ass broke. Maybe he's just on. Lots of guys just like the thrill of the ride, going up and down and up and down. But so who knows?
And by the way, Dante's listening because he just sent the word rhetorical to me by email. So it's good to know that people are listening. It's fantastic. Thank you, Dante. I appreciate it.
Where would he be listening?
Well, it has to be through you because I don't do a live stream.
Okay. Well, okay. We have Greenville, South Carolina, Brownsville, Texas, Harleysville, PA, Norway, Kennesaw, Georgia, Birmingham, England, United Kingdom, everywhere. United States, that's a great. And Denver, Colorado. Maybe that's
Aaron Berg.
Is he still around?
You know, he hates me.
I know. Well, everyone does except
everyone
the people here.
Except you.
You're the guy that loves that everyone loves
to
hate.
I admit that. I love it.
Well, what's the opposite of love?
I want to get back to Jeff.
All right.
So here's what
– and I love Jeff, by the way.
I know. Everyone loves Jeff, and I get why everyone loves Jeff because he has the marketing down cold. In fact, Tim, you actually inspired me to drop – I was going to do an expose on the vaccines.
Okay.
And
the
I
quack-scenes.
Got this week because two people have died who have exposed vaccines.
Oh, God.
And I don't worry about dying, but I worry about my wife worrying about me dying.
You don't want your wife to be a widow.
Actually, whatever. You know, she'll be fine. But
all the neighbors standing by.
All the neighbors are they'll be disappointed. But so you inspired me to work on my next project on Operation Wake 'Em Up, which are these video series that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Which is behind the scenes of marketing the COVID lie. I'm mm-hmm. literally going to take everything that I've learned mm-hmm. and taught for like 20 plus years now about marketing. And I'm going to show you step by step how they have used every single thing to do it. And that brings me to Jeff. Mm-hmm. Jeff is a master of using all the cognitive biases that make it so you love the guy. I totally get that. I use it. So of course you love the guy. All I can do is tell people this who question about Jeff. Anytime you want to research a guru, type in their name into Google mm-hmm. and then follow it with the following phrases. Ripped me off. Rip off. Scam, scammer, ripoff report. Those are different searches. Just type in rip me, blah, blah, blah. I won't mention Jeff's name.
Ripoffreport.com.
Yeah.
Is this at all kind of like a debunker website, though? Like, just have to throw that out there as a possibility. Like, could people be putting out BS?
I don't understand.
Well, you know how, like, there's Snopes for every conspiracy theory?
Oh, no. This is
like every controversial, what's the word? You know, high visibility person on the internet have, like, a bunch of haters saying, like, oh, this person did this and that.
Well, yeah, I guarantee if you type in my name, you won't find anyone who said I ripped them off. In fact, most people tell me the opposite. They're like, you have too much information. It's so much. So, yeah.
Right.
But anyone can file a ripoff report. .com and Ripoff Report is like the Better Business Bureau. That in itself is a scam because what they do is they tell the person who's listed on Ripoff Report, hey, if you pay us we're going to be better at not ripping people off fee, which
yeah.
is like $600, they'll remove you from the listing.
Does anyone even know about the Better Business Bureau anymore? Because I don't.
I think here in America they do.
That's such an old business because it is business, but I okay. just. It's not on anyone's radar here, or I don't even think about it.
It makes me think of all the alternative health voices that are out there and how, you know, they'll get lambasted by any type of official website. Uh-huh. But I think for an investment guru, I think you're probably right, Mark. I mean, I think if there's this much, you know, smoke, of course, I think every lead should be investigated, obviously. Uh-huh. But it's certainly concerning. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, again, in the last video, he says, you know, I never look at the comments. I never talk to people. Like, there's a bunch of Americans here in Mexico. I really don't talk to them. I live in a bubble. There is a reason why he lives in a bubble. Like, people want to kill him. And it's not the government who wants to kill him. It's people who, I just listed those phrases, that want to kill him.
Right. Yeah,
I don't want – I mean, I like the guy too. I would love to hang out with the guy. But he's done – you know, if he's making so much money, he should really pay back the people who he's done those things to that you see in the listings.
Right.
That's why I don't brag about me making money every day. I'm so rich. I don't have to worry about this, blah, blah, blah. I would never say that if I owed people money.
It sounds like if he lost all of his money through that Chili investment scheme or whatever, then I bet you a bunch of other people got ripped off and he might have been one of the ringleaders, even though he got taken out too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just reading that now. Jeff Berwick set up a Chilean land deal. It blew up and he lost everyone's money. Then he played the victim. $10.45 billion lost. Well, you know, the game of speculation, you got to be prepared to lose everything. So if you go
it just
in,
reminded me of George Carlin. The game is rigged. No one seems to know. Nobody seems to care.
It's rigged by so many different people. And
life is a rig.
And yeah, it's if you want boring, then just do 9 to 5 if you can find one. If you want to roll the dice, there's people like Jeff that that's the kind of thing they like to do. And they bounce back with something else. And lots of people like those kind of people. Lots of people don't. Canadians are pretty risk adverse. We just do what we're told. And that's why we're in the jam we're in up here. Americans, little more entrepreneurial. But, you know, if they do the Great Reset in the U.S., you don't have to worry about being an entrepreneur. You won't be able to.
And that goes right into you actually bummed my wife out, Tim. And you You had a conversation with Todd. Todd said he had the worst day ever. Mm-hmm. He's been saying that a lot. And then you said that you are not doing too well. I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to put words
in
your mouth.
Well, yeah, things have slowed down.
Not only that, but you said it finally hit you that after 50 years of saving money that was probably not a good idea, something to that effect.
Well, that day, that's always the thought that goes through your mind, because that's always something that people go back and forth on. I know people that – I have a friend who doesn't talk to me anymore. He is probably in his late 60s. He doesn't have a nickel to his name, he says, and he spends everything he makes. And he said he's always lived that way. And I said, well, I'm the opposite. Now, who's happier? I'm not sure. But
I was just going to ask that question.
I don't know. He doesn't seem that happy because he's still working. See, he doesn't really have the option of not working.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, when you get in your late 60s, things start to break. And you can't work. So then you're trapped, and then all these nasty things when you fall into the public health care system can happen to you. Well, you don't have the flexibility of getting some private help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just removing the anxiety of knowing that you have some type of safety net, right? Mm-hmm. Like having that hanging over you at all times, I think that would affect your quality of life.
And the government here, they'll take care of you. But now we're seeing, they will take care of you. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Now it's looking a little evil, even up here in sunny Canada. Now it's not looking so great.
You're going right into my notes, and I want to go over this, which is I think you almost laughed at me back in October when I told you about the leaked memo.
I know, and I didn't post it either.
And now are you laughing at me for talking about that?
Well, I'm not laughing at you.
You laughed at me, dude.
No, I saw it maybe at the same time as you did, but I didn't post it because I thought, first of all,
I posted it and I talked about it.
It was written wrong in the sense that a Canadian didn't write that. You could tell just by some of the language, not really reporting on who would have leaked it if it was a simulation, if it was a false story. But I don't think the PSYOP is being run out of Canada either. I think it's American-British as usual.
Sure.
So they put the story there, and perhaps that is the plan. And actually, Jeff did a really good graphic on the plan, on that email, and I asked him, I took a screenshot because I couldn't find the full screenshot. I took a screenshot, and then right after I did that, he sent it to me on Twitter. I asked him, and he sent the graphic, which is nice.
Wait, did you send him a comment on Twitter?
Yeah, I just did a retweet.
Well, then he lied. He just said he never responds to comments, so that's good.
Yeah. No, he does. Yeah. Well, maybe not on BitChute. He gets trashed on BitChute. But he sent me the graphic, and he was just checking off the parts of the email. And so we're halfway through.
Right. So let me read to you the last part of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Great Reset part.
Transitioning of individuals into universal basic income, expected Q2 2021. That's a couple months away. Projected supply chain breakdowns, inventory shortages, large economic instability, expected late Q2 2021. Finally, deployment of military personnel into major metropolitan areas as well as all major roadways to establish travel checkpoints. Restrict travel and movement. Provide logistical support to the area, expected Q3 of this year.
I know.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Fortunately, I think we're trending that way.
So then I'll ask you a question which I didn't ask you last week, and I always ask you every time I'm on the call with you.
Hit the highway for Amish country?
Is your scale from 1 to 10 of going to a place like Exclave or something similar?
Well,
where are you on the rating scale?
Well, maybe I moved up a notch. Maybe.
So you're at a 2?
Maybe.
This boggles my mind.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You got to burn my house down before I'm going to move out. I'll come home one day and the place will be in ashes. Then I'll load up the family truckster and head to PA. You got room in your basement?
No, not for you.
Great. Where's the Exclave temporary hotel system?
I'm sorry?
Where's the Exclave temporary hotel system? I thought you would have had some motels.
Actually, I'll tell you what we're going to do. This is the God's honest truth. We're going to actually get luxury RVs.
Okay.
That will be our temporary home as we're building Exclave at each location. We actually talked about that a couple weeks ago.
I heard all the RV parks are full.
Yes, they are.
Great. Where are you going to park? In a Walmart?
No, I understand. You mean full because there's so many people using them?
Yeah. Or you have to social distance your RV only every other spot.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't be, don't laugh. I'm laughing, but don't laugh. That could be the case.
That's why I'm building Exclave. I'm opting out. So anyway, that's that leaked Canadian timeline thing, which.
Well, I put it on fakeologist.com.
I'm like, I know I'm going to get the shirt that says I told you so. And here we go again. I told you so. It's amazing. This is all coming true. Just absolutely amazing. And that leads into my next note.
And it's happening here. Is it happening there? Because I'm tuned to the U.S. It just I can stop listening for a couple days to the media, and I feel like I'm completely out of it for the rest of the world. I pay attention to here because I'm here. But what about you? What's going on there? Are you?
You just should ask Andrew on that one because he's in way more militant, leftist, liberal area than I am.
Yeah, okay, but it's not a left-right thing here. We have a conservative Republican premier in Ontario. So I don't know why.
No, everywhere I go, no one wears a mask. No one cares. But I'm in Amish country. So what I'm saying is Andrew lives near Boston, Massachusetts, which is incredibly liberal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it does seem to be the cities are liberal, and these are the areas that are also happen to be the most highly brainwashed into this entire situation. Whereas in the middle of the country, from what I gather, people don't take it seriously at all. But it seems like nothing's really changed. Like nothing's accelerated, but nothing's decelerated. All we hear is that is the case number actually dropping?
It's dropping rapidly. It's like 40% down.
Okay.
That was on Inauguration Day.
Right.
So then, like, all of the credibility for this whole thing should be being questioned right now. But I'm sure that's not the narrative. But I don't know. I've gotten, you know, COVID's kind of burnout. So I don't follow the headlines anymore all that frequently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Tim just sent me the link to his blog at fakeologist.com/blog. And this is a specific URL titled Canadian Reset Plans Going Full Steam. And this is where Tim did a screen capture of Jeff, the dollar vigilante. Again, I don't want to throw Jeff under the bus. I like the current Jeff. I don't like the past Jeff. I would only ask that Jeff repent and pay everyone back.
Well, if he could, maybe he would. We don't even know. Maybe he's made deals with the people that weren't rude to him.
Well, if that were the case, then you would see updates on their videos, and I'm not seeing any updates.
Well, no, those are the rude guys. Maybe he did pay back some of the good guys and the asswipes. Yeah. They can leave their blog posts up, and you know, if I say I was worth $500 million and I lost $10 million, I would probably help those people if they were still down in the dumps, except the ones that crossed me or publicly trashed me.
I can tell you this, Tim. I went bankrupt twice because of 9/11, and for the exception of one person who actually stole money from me while I was going through bankruptcy, like literally stole money from me. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to write them a check back for – even though I don't have to, legally I don't have to, I can't wait to write the check back to them. I've been waiting all my life to do it.
But some of the guy that stole from you or the people that
– It was a woman actually.
Or the people that you went bankrupt with or the creditors?
No. She was an employee of mine. Mm. I gave everyone bonus checks. Yeah. And then 6 months before 9/11, business just fucking tanked. And I had these bonus checks sitting in her folder, and I'm like, you know, when things recover, I can pay you back this. So it wasn't even her regular pay. And one day while I wasn't looking, she took all the checks and she deposited it into her bank. I had such a great relationship with my bank that 3 days later, they reversed the charge somehow, which is, I don't know how, what magic they pulled off.
Well, there's normally a holding after 2 days
it clears.
Yeah, maybe they forgot to do whatever.
So I was able to get that money back, but oh boy, was I pissed. And oh my God. I mean, the entire business was collapsed, and she, like, in the middle of the night took the checks and tried to deposit them. Oh my God. So anyway, I have dreams of me paying back Bill and Richard and all the people who worked there, because it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. And these people who say bad things about these gurus in videos, they're not bad people. They're frustrated. They're like, they're not getting the system isn't working for them. So they put it out there, and they know that someone like Jeff's going to see that, and maybe something will happen. And I'm sure it does happen. I'll tell a quick story I've told a couple times in the past. I had this guru. I hate gurus. I had this guru who I sent a ton of business to, and I had an affiliate program connection with him. He owed me about $1,500, never paid a nickel. And he would constantly ignore my emails. I'm like, hey, Mark, where's the money? That's his name. Finally, what I did, because I was the pay-per-click advertising guy, is I placed an ad that said, does Mark blah, blah, blah owe you money? That's all I did. That was the ad. And the only person who saw that ad was this guy, Mark, because you had to type in his name, and not many people typed in his name. Less than 24 hours later, I got my $1,600 by PayPal. So saying something and complaining about something can get you results. I have no problem with that. And I don't think these people who put those videos out are bad people. They got scammed. They clearly got scammed. I totally believe their story.
Well, maybe.
I know you love the guy. He's an incredibly likable guy. I get it.
No, I'm not in love with anybody except my wife, of course. Hi, dear. But he has charisma, and I'm sure he's burned lots of people up, and he'll burn lots of people going back down. If that's the type of but as long as you know what you're dealing with, when you get on a ride-em bull, if you fall off and crack your head open, don't blame the bull. Come on, man. You gotta. That's the whole thing about
it. Was there a warning sign that says that
you don't need a sign. Use your common sense. And that's what an anarchist doesn't need regulation protection. I mean, that's his whole mantra.
I'm curious. Does he have a refund policy?
Yeah, he does.
And what does it say?
It says you can get your money back if you didn't like what you experienced.
Do you want to bet whatever the cost of that course is? I'll bet you right now that almost no one gets their money back, even with a refund policy.
How would I know?
Because I was in that business. I know these people.
Okay. But they're not all the same.
Very few people pay back refunds. The only person I know who does the refunds back is Frank Kern. That's the only person I know.
Well, you'll have to pay for one of his seminars and get your money back.
No, thanks. No, thanks. I know the Sausage Factory, and I stay away from it. So anyway, let's get off of that. Let's talk about we talked about honeypots through Telegram, and I want to talk about another honeypot, which I think is Florida.
Ah, yeah. Or what about Texas?
In Texas. What do you think about that?
I think that you mean they're going to gather all those nasty Republican types in Florida and then set it on fire?
Yes, I do.
You were born in Florida.
On fire. What are they going to do?
Well, I mean, think about it. Okay. The globalists, the establishment, the not-so-elite, whatever you want to call them, do you really think they're allowing some two-bit governor to go against the mask mandate, the vaccine mandate, the big tech mandate? He's going after big tech now. Really? That's a rhetorical
part of some other narrative, right? it's unclear to me what the political narrative in the U.S., where it's going currently.
Sure.
Really unclear to me. But I'm open to hearing what you're
saying.
Well,
first of all, I think the people of Florida, and we have boots on the ground in Florida. We got Mike and Brian of the Big Hoax and Todd. People are going along with the media anyway, regardless of what the governor says. So if the overall prevailing idea is to mask up, then they're doing it. Now, I don't know what the county level or the state level mandates are for, say, masking, because masking is the number one visible thing that we can all see of this new world religion. Mm-hmm. And it is a religion. There's no doubt about it.
Totally.
It's the number one flag. I'm surprised you didn't have to wear a flag on your head, but the mask is about the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Or a dunce hat. A dunce hat would have been way more appropriate. And it should read, "I know nothing about health." That's what the dunce hat should read. "I don't have a clue. I don't want to know. Just stick a needle in me."
Mm-hmm.
But people are going along with it, as far as I can tell, with the masks.
I think it's 50-50.
Well, Todd says way higher than that, and he's really disgusted by it. Because I think the stores have their policies, and they're for masks, especially Costco. But Costco's a global company. But
that's funny that you Todd was telling you about BJ's, which is very popular here in the States.
Right.
It's kind of like Dick's Sporting Goods. Like they always have these little sexual, you know, hard drive software. It's like all these sexual references
in BJ's.
No, I'm saying everything is sexually referenced.
Oh, I see. It's
aimed in everything. You know, BJ's and Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah,
BJ's is pretty popular here in the States.
Mm-hmm. Well, not. It's only in 11 states. And there's 50 states.
Must be a lot near me because there's a lot in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I looked it up. I think they're only in about 11 states, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so back to the honeypot thing. Yeah, I totally smell a trap.
It's funny, in this article you shared, they don't explain why all these rates are lower, like 5% fewer hospitalizations, 25% fewer new cases, much lower death rate. But they don't bother to go into, like, okay, what policies was it? Like, they don't even have an explanation. No.
Right. It's to trap people there, I'm telling you. I'll put money on this one, too. I'll put money on everything.
Oh, man.
I'll win so much money.
You said you don't gamble.
I'll win so much money, I'll bail Jeff out.
You said you don't gamble, though.
I'm kidding. I don't have any money to gamble.
Wait, so what are they going to do? Create a big FEMA camp down in Florida? Like,
I don't know about a FEMA camp, but I can certainly see something happen where everyone – literally uproots. They're uprooting. They're selling their home, buying homes down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens where they're stuck. Like, this is classic honeypot shit.
Yeah,
it makes no sense if you step back and think about it. Why would the not-so-elite allow Florida and Texas to do this stuff?
And maybe if the narrative is some type of, you know, to further polarize and create like this two countries narrative, you know?
Or seceding?
Yeah.
Could be that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think the end game is? I've said my position on that for quite a while now.
Well, I just listened to, is it Dr. Steve Pachanik?
Oh, I can't. That guy's wrong all the time.
Yeah, he was on Alex Jones, right?
He was on Alex Jones today, yeah.
Oh, he went back on? Because, his big bet that he would be co-host with Alex Jones if Trump was still president. So
yeah, and so Alex Jones says, how about you? So Steve Pachanik said to Alex Jones, can I come and host again? He said, only if you do it with David Knight.
Steve Pachanik was a host?
Apparently.
Wait, so Alex wanted David Knight back on? Is that what you're
saying? No, it was kind of like a joke. Like, Alex Jones fired David Knight.
Got it, yeah.
So he asked to come back on the show, and he goes, only if you co-host with David Knight, meaning no.
Okay.
So, but was he on? But he was still on the show.
Who's on the show?
Was Steve Pachanik on the show or not?
He was interviewed by Alex today, and Alex was ripping into him about being wrong about everything.
Okay, so he was still on the show. Because what did Steve say when – I think he said made some extreme statement. If he was wrong, what would he do? I can't remember what it was because I don't really like.
He was going to co-host Alex's show and get on the payroll.
No, if he was wrong, what was he going to do?
Oh, no. That wasn't part of it, I don't think, that I know of. It's just if he was right, that's what he gets. I don't know.
But there's – see, when you ask where is this going, like why is there a permanent fence around the Capitol?
Oh,
why
that's – yes. I know. I wanted to get some intel on that. I agree.
Why is it that the White House has been dark ever since Inauguration Day? Not a single person has been in there. And that's – people going crazy and got like productions about that.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't go on that.
Why is it that Biden literally at Castle Rock Studios, which is Amazon Studios, why is he there?
Okay. Well, yeah.
Where is that?
That's
Q stuff.
Castle Rock Entertainment, which is it's known as Amazon Studios.
Mm-hmm. What, Amazon bought them?
Yeah, in Culver City. It's like a new complex, and I saw this one video. Without a doubt, Joe Biden was at the studio and for doing his White House, whatever he does. No doubt about it.
Are the press briefings there?
Yeah.
So where is it? Culver City, California?
No, California.
Yeah.
It's called
Culver City, California. That's where
Amazon Studios.
And they bought Castle Rock.
Yeah, Castle Rock.
Okay. Because there was a one guy in an audience, and maybe this was a Q photo, that said Castle Rock on his hat.
Right, and in a Q post, there was the final word was Castle Rock Studio or something like that. So this is very – I mean, this is – talk about living in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Castle Rock link I'll drop in the chats too. This is from David Whitehead, but it's basically looking at how they used it as a stage for the Oval Office. Like that's on record.
Mm-hmm. On record.
So
the white papers.
Yeah. So you're saying why are they so they're not even in? So you don't think Biden's in Washington?
No.
So he's hanging out in California around the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Like. If I was a betting person, I'd bet the house on that one. From this video that this one guy did, oh my God, was it convincing? Whew.
So what's the narrative there then, Mark?
Because is Q really doing its thing? That's Steve Pichenik says he's tripling down. That it's all we're weeks away.
God, the goals just continuously extend, and yet they still like trickle in all these little, you know, these little teasers that. You know, everybody's got to remain hopeful because how do you explain this and this and this? And I've seen weird pictures of like the presidential desk or whatever, and it's every other president. There's like this device that has a button that gives the president access to the Secret Service.
Yeah,
but Biden's doesn't have that. And then you know, these are memes that I'm getting my information from. So like, meme is not exactly a great
New York Times source. Link. Oh, I don't read the New York Times.
Oh, yeah, this is just something from, like, the 90s or something talking
1997.
About. Yeah, but it's a reference showing how they used Castle Rock to film the Oval Office.
Right.
Well, what was that show, The West Wing?
Exactly.
Is that their studios?
Probably. Yeah, it's probably what it is.
I didn't watch any of these shows, but I see. Castle Rock Oval Office is being used for Disney's Nixon, Independence Day. Okay. Dave. Remember that one?
Dave.
That was a movie with Kevin Klein, the guy that looks like Manlinda Gates. They're dead ringers.
That's right.
Do a face split
on
them.
Run that by Mark Tarkarski.
Yeah, do a face split on those two.
Yeah, I mean, when you ask me what the end game is, like, I have no I cannot figure it out. I mean, it's like
– Well, I told you what I think the end game was.
Sorry, Ebko.
No, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, have you guys heard IPS's take on Biden being his – you know, his son taking over the role?
Bo?
What's this shit?
Bo, the one that allegedly died?
Yeah, exactly.
Bo Biden?
The son who allegedly died, apparently the story is, you know, or the theory is that he is actually playing the role of his father, Joe Biden, as president.
You mean in makeup?
But Joe's
yeah, like
dead?
Like a hyper-realistic mask or whatever types of effects that they can use. But apparently what Biden said in right during inauguration was, oh, this should be Beau here or something. And it didn't really make sense that he would say that because, like, why would Beau be the president?
Well, first of all, Joe Biden never makes sense. So there's no way you can't really read too much into his exactly. stumbles and bumbles.
He but probably this just, is conspiracy candy. Both sides are playing the same game, and they're giving us this stuff to get us yeah. distracted. It's so obvious. But again, why they put this permanent fence around the Capitol with military spaced every 15 feet, and they're still there. That's what's weird to me that no one talks about.
The fact that I guess there's the narrative that, there's another hearing, there's another impeachment hearing upcoming. So are they trying to pretend that, you know, that there could still be, like, conservative grassroots uprising or whatever, and that as Trump comes back into D.C. for the hearing, isn't that happening in a few weeks?
I have no idea.
Yeah, the impeachment hearing is supposed to happen, I think. Which is a total charade, obviously.
Right. Okay. Next in my notes, I have U.S. coronavirus, 70 to 85% of Americans need to be fully vaccinated for a return to normal, Fauci says. So far, it's less than 2%. So Fauci admits that only 2% of the people have been vaccinated.
Okay. Well, I just want to go back a bit to my idea, and I still think that mm-hmm. this is to destroy the United States, to disintegrate it, to break it up, blow mm-hmm. out the Constitution, and create America 2050. I don't see – we can't see it right now because this is a long-term plan, but all these little steps are just dragging the body down the stairs. As far as I'm concerned. So all the.
I think you're being optimistic. I think Adam Curry was right. And it's 2030. Remember, Adam Curry was always. Whenever I. In the past, when I did listen to him, he'd always bring up the 2030 thing.
Mm-hmm. I just noticed that. Yeah, Agenda 2030. I was just looking up. Bo Biden allegedly died of glioblastoma. It's the most aggressive type of cancer that begins with the brain and I want to look up all the suspicious celebrity deaths that die of these super rare cancers that no one can do anything about. They happen really quickly. Whereas I think most Americans, Canadians die of just chronic health problems that include the number 1, 2, 3 cause of death, which I think most of us know someone who has died of some of the most common forms of death, which I believe are heart attack, stroke, and I can't remember what the third one is, maybe cancer. So
you're missing the number one cause of death.
Is heart attack.
No.
Is what?
Iatrogenic disease.
Who?
Iatrogenic disease. Doctor's mistakes.
No, that's not true.
10% admitted. 10%. I'm sorry. It's in the USA. In the USA, it's the third most. I'll post a link to that.
Yeah, it's just like the Starfield reports. Sean Rappaport talks about this a lot.
Well, I just looked up the CDC, which I don't like. Heart disease, yeah, number one. Cancer, that. Number two. Accidents, unintentional injuries. Is that?
Yeah. Iatrogenic disease.
Okay. Then chronic lower respiratory disease, which is pneumonia, stroke.
Yep.
But the point is, how is it that these celebrities that come and go so quickly, why do they always die of the most rare thing? Like, for instance, I'm big on the mm-hmm. Rob Ford thing because his brother runs our province now. Mm-hmm. And the guy was clearly overweight. He was carrying 2 spare tires. So most people know of people that look like that, and most of us know what they die of, and it's usually a heart attack. They don't usually die of some very rare cancer that nobody can explain because most people that die of a heart attack, it's a gradual thing. They get bigger and bigger, and then they just fall over and die. And that's, to me, far more believable than a middle-aged man that's way overweight died of a heart attack than, say, some rare cancer. So that's why maybe there's some coding in the deaths. So when we look up glioblastoma, super rare aggressive brain cancer, where you can just get diagnosed and 2 weeks later die, it seems very spooky to me.
And do you remember from last week what the number one cause of heart disease is? VAT? Remember VAT? Visceral adipose tissue?
Well, that's what you said, yeah. That...
that's what you said.
Well, I never even heard of that. Just the fat. I never looked it up, but that's the fat around your abdominal organs, yeah. Well, I guess most of your organs
in your abdomen. It's symptomatic of, like, overall unhealthy lifestyle, basically.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, there's tons of those celebrity deaths from these random things that you didn't even know they were sick. Like Chadwick Boseman had something like that, and I feel like there's been some recent ones as well where you're just like, oh, that person. Oh, the Screech from Saved by the Bell. He's 44-year-old actor, got something rare. I don't even know what. Died within like months or something, some form of cancer. And there's always gematria that ties into it all and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking up all the top guys, the top deaths of brain tumors, and I don't see too much spookiness here. Most of the people I never heard of. So maybe we'll have to throw out that theory, but it is strange. There's
so
many.
Can we move on to a new revelation about social credit scores, or do you want to keep going on that?
No, I'm good.
Oh, before we actually move on, Mark, you brought up the topic around the vaccines. Are we going to get to that? Back to that, or are we moving?
Are we good? Anything you want? I got a list of things that if there's any dead air, boom, we go right to the next one.
So, what was your point about the vaccines? Basically, not like 2% of people have received it, or something.
Right.
So, what was the impetus for bringing that up?
So the headline is 70 to 85% of Americans need to be fully vaccinated to return to normal, said Fauci.
Right.
But in the same article, it says less than 2% have been vaccinated.
Okay, got it. So yeah, so I've heard John LeBon propose a theory which makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that they're just going to always use the vaccine as like this dangling carrot.
Exactly.
That was my theory.
Okay, sorry.
Wait, did John steal that from you? How dare he?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's a imitation's the greatest form of flattery. But true. No, that's my theory. I even made a graphic on that.
Hmm. Do you have a link?
I will look for it.
Look for it.
I don't know
young
how I'm
going
to find it, but I'll find it.
Oh, you'll find it. You're good like that.
I'll find it. But yeah, I created the old donkey. With the dangling
actually, you posted while you're – I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
What did I post?
You posted on a Telegram a great saying. It said something like, when people say that COVID is real, that's like saying that Santa Claus – what was it? Santa Claus left toys under the tree so I know Santa Claus is real. That was great.
Well, it's circular argumentation.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm going to steal that one but use the Tooth Fairy instead.
You don't like Santa? Yeah, there's so much
from the religious angle of it.
Well, Santa's not religious. It's Coca-Cola. It's Coca-Cola.
That's true.
What book is Santa in? I don't know where I posted that. Unfortunately, there's way too many places now to go. I lose track. I'm on Telegram. I'm on the blog, which is where everyone should be, but nobody is. Discord. We're everywhere. Fake
11. Just so you know that your blog, I know a lot of people go to FakeTube first,
mm-hmm.
but your blog is my go-to first place.
Yeah, you say that every time. I appreciate that.
I just
keep it up just for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that double entendre. I appreciate that.
No, there's
I've
no
been
double
going
entendre.
Back to the Fakeologist blog too, and it's something I'm bringing back into the routine.
Oh, thanks. How do you remember to go back? Because I don't even remember to go back. So how do you remember to go back?
Honestly, I think about, all right, so Thursday's coming up, so I should probably catch up on all the go-tos, and then you're at the top of that list.
I think
I do have a recommendation for you, Tim, about your blog, though.
Yeah.
Cool. Whenever I type in, I start to, you know, I use the Safari browser on the Mac, and when I type in fake, it immediately fills in fake OTube, and then I have to type in, then I have to physically start typing more letters, and then I have to type in L-O, and then I hit forward slash, and then I go to hit B, and it should fill in blog, but it doesn't. It just leaves it at B, which gets me an error.
Hmm.
It would be a lot easier if you take, I don't like your main page there. No, I don't know what.
Well, it was rushed back in the code when code was coming on strong.
So if that page could redirect to your blog, that would be great.
Well, the front page was really to stop people that don't belong on the blog to come to the blog. Because the blog...
Wait, people don't belong to be on the blog?
Well, no, the point is if you just go to fakeologist.com, it used to go to the main blog. And then the main blog is not really user-friendly. You just start seeing the latest posts. It's not explanatory. I wanted a front page that if you aren't into this, just leave. So I really wanted people like you to bookmark the blog. But I think that a good way to look at the blog is to just go to the right side and subscribe by email. And it looks like hundreds of people do it that way. Then you just get an email when there's a new post. So if there's no new post, you won't get an email. That's a pretty good way.
Uh-huh.
Or an RSS reader.
And it looks like there's a bunch of pumpkins on your page. Like that's the first thing. Pumpkins with eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is this about? And then like I can't read the great corona. It's in yellow. Like I can't read it.
Yeah, it's not that. I can change the color for you. Oh, yeah. On the top of fakeologist.com, there's the graphic right there, actually.
Okay.
And what it is, the donkey trying to go after the vaccine. And the donkey's supposed to be being chased by death or COVID. I thought that was a pretty good graphic.
I'll put that in the notes. So what am I going to title this graphic?
Well, it's just
donkey
the...
and COVID's.
Yeah.
And kishes.
Oh, wow, you're right. It's like a dangling carrot in front of the donkey.
Yeah. Yes. Everyone wants the vaccine, but you can't have it because. All these reasons. Let's list the reasons why you aren't getting your vaccine on time. The government's incompetent. The government didn't order enough. The government ordered too much. The government ordered the wrong one. The manufacturing can't get over the border. They want to keep it local. They want a country's own vaccine. They don't want imported vaccines. They can't keep them frozen. It just goes on and on and on and on. It never ends. And they're even in the last couple months saying the vaccine's not changing a thing. You're still going to wear the mask. You're still going to distance. Okay. So what the hell do you want the vaccine for then? Seriously, anyone who wants it, you got to ask them. So why do you want it?
You just reminded me with the vaccine being cold to send you this link. This doesn't freak you out. I don't know what will. It's called Johns Hopkins researchers take inspiration from parasitic work for medicine delivery. Basically, the real reason that the COVID vaccine is so cold is because it uses like a spring technology that adjusts the temperature. So when the spring technology enters your body and warms up, it actually goes into action. And this article explains it.
Great.
With the nanobots. They're called Theragrippers. Made of metal and thin shape-changing film, then coated in heat-sensitive paraffin wax. The devices, each roughly the size of a dust speck, can potentially carry any drug and release it gradually into the body. And by the way, if you look down, you'll see that the Theragripper is about the size of a speck of dust. This swab
I'm seeing that image right now.
Contains dozens of tiny devices.
Oh my God.
Everyone who's getting that swab is probably getting nanobots.
I've heard that one.
Yeah. I can think of two things why they chose to make one of the vaccines. need to stay super frozen cold, which doesn't make any sense, by the way, because when you freeze something that is supposed to be, I don't know if it's supposed to be alive, but when you freeze anything, it's I think it completely denatures. And then when it heats back up, it's just not the same. Now, there's a lot of foods. I freeze all our leftovers, and some of them, when you thaw them out, they just don't, they're not the same. No. So how can a drug that's so precisely made, if you freeze it and then thaw it out, how could it possibly have the same properties? I don't see how it could. Now, the only idea is I can think of, number one, freezing stuff at that temperature is really expensive. I used to deliver refrigerated and frozen stuff, and I don't think any trailer ever gets that cold. I don't think you can even make, say, a whole trailer on a truck that cold. It would have to be super insulated. So I don't even think there is any infrastructure to ship it around. But I do know that maybe 10 years ago when I used to deliver drugs for a pharmaceutical distributor, the government was trying to make all drug deliveries in a cold chain. In other words, they all had to stay refrigerated all the way through from manufacturer to pharmacist to your house, basically. Mm-hmm. I know there was lots of pushback saying, well, most of these drugs we deliver, they don't have to stay cold. Yeah, they could denature if they get super hot. So for instance, if it's summer or you're in the southern states.
Arizona.
Okay, yeah. If you had a pill that got superheated to 120, okay, it could denature and maybe it would lose its properties. So I think they were, up here at least, I don't know what it's like in the states, they were pushing that all drugs had to be at least refrigerated from start to finish so they wouldn't denature. But there's so much pushback because there would be such an investment in the fleet and then refrigerators everywhere, refrigerated vehicles. They just didn't do it. So stuff that has to stay cold, they just pack in a cooler. But most drugs do not get delivered in a cooler. But they wanted everything to be delivered cold, which means, like I said, the whole cold chain would have to be refrigerated. So refrigerated vans and everything. And maybe this is linked to that. Maybe they're trying to push to get that back in. And this is sort of just another excuse to make everyone spend probably hundreds of millions of dollars to upgrade the drug delivery cold to cold chain, which, again, sure, costs a fortune.
Yeah.
So that's just an idea. Because
I like that idea, yeah.
If you're not in the industry, you would never know that. Because it's very inside baseball, as Marcus likes to say.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's true.
And of course, nobody wants to raise prices. But if we had to pay for that, that would mean drugs would cost even more. Because all that diesel to keep the vehicles cold, that's a lot of money. So that's
Andrew,
my thought.
Do you have
there.
Your conspiracy cap on? Do you think that the cold is just to keep to deliver, just like the link I just showed the Johns Hopkins researcher take inspiration from parasitic work for medicine delivery?
So that link you shared, is that saying that component is part of one of the coronavirus vaccines, or is that just separate technology?
Separate thing that I stumbled upon.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, all of these are feasible explanations, right? I bet you there's tons of profit motive within the supply chain that Ab's talking about there's tons of rackets going on all the way through the pharmaceutical companies to how they're delivered to, you know, the consumer, et cetera. It does make me think, is there some actual technology that does require, a reduced temperature for some reason, whether it be biological or some type of, you know, what do they say that this is, you know, I've listened to Sophia Smallstorm talk about like the vaccine and how it's some piezoelectric reaction in the body that, you know, inserts the genetic sequence to reprogram your cells to create this new thing, and how it's gene editing, it's not a real vaccine. I mean,
I don't know. Well, yeah, therapy. It's a therapeutic. They even admit it.
Yeah, but then you have Fauci on that ridiculous video that Mark shared with both of us, the Try Guys. You know,
the soy boys.
Yeah, he just contradicts that and says, oh, no, it's ridiculous. It's a vaccine, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe anything Fauci, fraudsy says.
Yeah, sure.
He's agreed. Pathetic.
Did you see the little kind of argument or discussion between Judy Mikovits and Andrew Kaufman?
No, I lost track. I started it, but I lost track of that. I saw the response from Kaufman and Cowan on that.
Yeah,
but I didn't finish it.
It was kind of interesting just because I find that Judy Mikovits or Mankovits, however you say her name.
Yeah.
I found her to be an interesting character just because she was associated with that Plandemic documentary that had a lot of question marks. I know one of the promoters of it I thought was affiliated with 9/11 as an actor in that whole situation. He was like one of the promoters of that Plandemic documentary, and that documentary got a ridiculous amount of play on Facebook and stuff. Like millions of people saw that.
Yes, that's what they say. That was the 9/11 guy, Mickey Rourke. Exactly. No, Mickey whatever, yeah.
And Judy Mikovits, or however you say her name, her whole position is that it's like a bioweapon, and, you know, she's doing a lot of fear porn, fear mm-hmm. promotion from her narrative.
Another Judy. Where's Judy
exactly.
Wood?
Yeah, Judy that's a total, you know, guardrail / you know, limited hangout. That's kind of my take. And Kaufman kind of called her out on it, and she didn't really take kindly to it. And then the guy that was interviewing her was some Canadian podcaster, and he like took her side. And anyways, you saw Kaufman's rebuttal, which was just reiterating the stance that the virus itself has never been purified or isolated scientifically by the definition. So, and Judy Mikovits just kind of steamrolled over that entire point and kind of just
I don't even know how you could isolate something so small you can't see it.
Well, they say that it can't be like that's one of the challenges, and that's why
you can't see it. Yeah,
the obfuscation of the scientific method comes into play, because it's like they admit that they can't isolate something, you know, a virus from all the other,
but it's so small you can only see it under a magical electron microscope, and to put something in an electron microscope, you need to treat it with a million chemicals just so you can see it. Which,
and only two people in the world are authorized to look through that microscope, right?
I don't know where they are, who can look at them, but the bottom line is you can't isolate something you can't see.
Right.
So, game over.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
I just pasted in a couple of electron microscope photographs of the supposed coronavirus, and it's like, you know, this is just a bunch of squiggly lines and a bunch of weird organisms, you know, microorganisms, a bunch of things. You couldn't pick one thing out from another, and just because somebody draws an arrow and says, "Up, there it is," doesn't mean anything.
Do you want to take a call? Did you hear that?
Depends who it's from.
Oh, I had, looks like somebody called me, how to cure type 1 diabetes. He might not be listening, but anyway, I'm getting some feedback on that call out to people think, well, I think you told me that you can completely cure type 1 diabetes, which of course I'm interested in, mm-hmm. but I still don't believe it.
Try it.
Okay.
I already gave you the formula. 55 grams of carbs or less a day. Slowly move off of it. Boom. Eat meat.
Well, we eat bacon every morning now, because
that's not good meat. That's riddled with PUFAs, omega 6 polyunsaturated fats.
But what else?
You want to go linoleic acid?
What else do you? It has linoleic acid in it. Bacon?
No. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Are you sure?
If you're getting pork that is fed non-PUFAs, that's great, but good luck finding that. There's very few in the country that do that.
Okay.
I eat steak tips every day. We have 7 different spice things that we do.
You eat a steak today every day?
Every day.
Wow.
Twice a day.
I have to look that one up with your linoleic acid.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you can get really down and dirty with the different things.
I'll send you the best podcast ever about it. It's from Dr. Kenobi. Dr.
Obi-Wan?
Kenobi-Wan.
Is it Obi-Wan?
No. Dr. Kenobi, Diseases of Civilization, one of the best videos ever. I'm not kidding. I'll post that. Here it is. Let me turn that off. And he's an eye doctor. An eye doctor has to tell us how – hello. Has to tell us how to eat right. Crazy.
Well, a doctor's a doctor. Just because you specialize in the eye doesn't mean you're ignorant of the rest of
– Why isn't a nutritionist telling us how to eat?
Well, they're not even doctors.
Why do
they
rely on an eye doctor?
Oh, I see.
Am I crazy?
I mean, anybody that can think independently, right? That's
the
primary.
Yeah, I don't really see. Yeah, that's not a requirement to me ever.
No, I understand that, but it's just it. All my life, it has baffling to me that the people who you think are the best at what they do are actually kind of the worst. Alan Watt actually just talked about this in his last week's podcast. He's like, you'll have the best. He was talking about in the medical profession, if you're not that good, they'll put you into something that doesn't really matter, like allergies. Like they'll assign you to be the allergy doctor because there's really not much going on in that field. He did a whole rant about it. It was really good. But yeah, this Dr. Chris Kenobi, excellent video. One of the best videos I've ever seen about nutrition.
Should I play a bit?
No. It's 45 minutes.
No, I'm just wondering if people want to just hear a bit.
Processed food components, and there's basically only...
Seed
oils that are the primary drivers because they are the biological poisons. They are poisons, plain and simple. And today, I'll try to show you how and why. So... my financial disclosures first. I'm a book author.
Okay. Well, that's him. If you want to hear him, very interesting. So back to seed oils.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you eliminated one thing out of your diet, seed oils, you've heard the whole thing, which is worse, a thing of French fries or 27 cigarettes?
They're both pretty bad.
Right. You're better off smoking the 27 cigarettes than downing a thing of McDonald's French fries.
PUFAs. There's your PUFA. Polyunsaturated fatty acid.
Right. And the person who turned me on to that very long time ago was Dr. Ray Pete. Put a link to him.
The sad thing is that a lot of the really health conscious people from dating back decades listening to the popular kind of advice, they started eating things like, I can't believe it's not butter, and all these other polyunsaturated vegetable oil alternatives to actual real butter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that turns out to be the opposite of what they should have been doing. So it's,
yep.
But PUFAs are mainly dangerous because it says in culinary oils, they undergo oxidative deteriorations at temperatures of 302 Fahrenheit, which is basically baking, cooking, boiling. The heating causes a free radical chain reaction, which oxidizes in the PUFAs into hydroperoxide, which further decomposes into a complex mixture of secondary products.
Yeah, look into hexane. That'll freak you out. They use hexane to extract seed oils from seeds.
Mm-hmm. But it's when they get heated up in French fries and mainly anything deep fried. That's where the problems start.
High temperature, like coconut oil, for example, that effect doesn't occur until much higher temperatures.
Right, it has a higher smoke point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But here's the thing. When you go to McDonald's, and McDonald's is actually very good about changing their oil. They actually have a machine that does it, more advanced machine than any other restaurant. If you go at dinner time on a Friday night, let me tell you that you've had that oil has been reheated hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times.
Well, it's never cooled. They leave it right at temperature.
But what I'm saying is, it does cool because you put the frozen French fries in, then it cools down.
Then it comes back up.
I mean, the worst time to get fries is at dinner rush on a Friday night. Because trust me, no restaurant's going to do a redo of their oil
when they're busy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I've said this so many times, but did you hear the story of why McDonald's switched?
Yeah, from beef tallow.
Yeah.
To what they have now. I don't even know what they have now. Probably soybean oil.
Some vegetable oil. But did you hear the story about it? It was quite a story. I can't remember where I heard it. But
probably something to do with a religious problem.
No, actually, a guy who invented the joiners for drywall became a big millionaire. And he had a heart attack in his 40s. And his doctor says it's because he ate too much animal fat. So he went on a huge campaign with his own money.
Yeah.
And his main...
I just heard that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. His main goal was to convince McDonald's to stop using beef tallow, beef fat, and switch to whatever the oil of the day was. I guess it was corn oil or vegetable oil.
I have to reach into my safe right now, pull out another couple $100 and say, I will bet you a couple $100 that's a whopper of a lie of a story. The sugar industry is what caused the whole, saturated fat is bad for you. It's all a distraction from the sugar industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an excuse too. That's probably not true either.
Well, I think what is the number one reason why businesses change ingredients?
It is very cheap. Yeah. You can get a liter of cooking oil for a dollar.
Well, of course, it's a lot cheaper. And same with sugar. Why did they switch to high fructose corn syrup? Yeah. Because it's 100 times sweeter than natural sugar, which by deduction means you should only have to use 1/100th to have the same sweetness.
So Monsanto, corruption with the government, subsidies, like all these economic drivers that force the industry into a particular direction.
But it's just money, yeah. It's money. Yeah, it's just
money. But at the beginning of that whole system, I do believe that there are, technocrats that are saying, okay, we need to deploy this Monsanto technology and use these levers to make sure it gets propagated, you know.
But the technocrats are from the industry because someone from the industry would even understand it. So they provide the technocrats. That's why there's such a revolving door between industry and government. Because how else would you really know about all this unless you were in it?
Right. No, it's definitely the revolving door plays a huge role. It's definitely correct.
I'm going to show another video by Nina Teicholz. Let me see if I can find one from 2014. Another excellent video. I'll post that in our companion notes. And let me turn this off. And in the Skypes, right there.
I think it was a Malcolm Gladwell story. Yeah, that's probably who. That's probably where I heard it.
Yeah, I don't trust Malcolm. I mean, he has a good
Phil Sokoloff tipping point.
Malcolm Gladwell is like evil in so many ways. He's in so many different things. It's crazy.
There you go. There's the story. I'll put it in the link. Okay. That was the story. It was actually a pretty good story. His name was Philip Sokoloff.
Yeah. Nasty Jews. Those nasty Jews.
I don't know if he was Jewish.
Sokoloff is definitely a Jewish name.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, so let me grab that from Skype. Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, he was a crusader against cholesterol. It was the old cholesterol chestnut. They changed their oils to corn, soy, or cottonseed.
Mm-hmm. It's like all these different scientific advancements, and I'll use Monsanto as one example, and then vaccines as another example.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, there's like two, there's a big question still in my mind, and is that, you know, is this technology being developed and deployed for some type of crazy depopulation agenda, some type of sterilization agenda, or is the position that it's just all being used as part of a giant fear propaganda exercise, and all, you know, all these advancements are, I guess, I mean, if they're not doing anything bad purposely, then what are they, just spinning their wheels, developing new technology just to sell a con? Like IPS will say he doesn't believe that vaccines are going to hurt people, and that's all part of,
He says that?
Yeah. He thinks it's a part of a fear propaganda.
He hasn't seen the VAERS database then.
Right. So I don't know. That's just a big question mark for me. It's like, you know, you could make the same argument around Monsanto and all this genetic engineering, these GMOs. Like, is it all fear propaganda to polarize and create, you know, two different factions, or are there technocrats really trying to like control society by manipulating genes and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'll go with that one. That's what I think. Okay, so do you know what the difference between Agent Orange and glyphosate is?
Nothing.
Right.
Trick question by Marcus. I'm used to you. I'm getting used to your trick questions now.
Agent Orange.
I'm sure Andrew is much better at catching all your little trick questions.
Well, he's been with me for a little bit longer than you have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or you've been with him.
He finally caught on to my humor and stuff. Actually, it says Agent Orange is completely different, unbelievably more powerful toxic. So, but it's basically the same thing. One is just more powerful. So they're spraying Agent Orange on our food. And as George Carlin says, no one seems to notice. No one seems to care. And I know, Tim, you think that might have something to do with type 1.
Well, it's got to be up there. And I guarantee there's probably no research into that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to all influence your overall gut biome, right? Like your the bacteria content in your body, and it, once they start messing with that, then there's all these epigenetic effects, right?
Right.
So you'll start to develop.
That's a big word. Don't use those big words around me, man.
Should I explain it?
Epigenetic.
Yeah, epigenetics is like if your mom smoked, mm-hmm. even though she doesn't have a smoking gene, it's not genetically passed down to you. The damage caused by the smoking will pass on to you. And now they say it can go four generations epigenetics, at least four generations.
Wait,
it's also your environment in your own generation, your own life, influencing how your genes are expressed.
Right.
So it's like anybody could have the potential to express a particular condition or behavior or whatever, but it's just the environment that might accelerate that or something, right?
So like something if like that. Yeah.
So, well, now I know why I don't like the word, because it's the first three letters of epidemiologist. I think those are modern.
EpiPen.
Epidemiologists are also magicians. Yeah. That's why I didn't like epigenetics, because I think if you are drinking and smoking while you're pregnant, I can see how that could have a direct relation to the development of the fetus. But as per saying that it alters the woman's genes for four generations, I think that's garbage.
I don't think they're saying it alters the genes. I think it's something that's different than the genes. It's something that gets passed along through some other mechanism.
No, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm. So epigenetics is simply triggering expression of genes based upon the environment of the organism. So whether or not it has implications beyond like the generation, I think is kind of separate. Maybe it does. Maybe that's part of the study. And the study, you know, epigenetics as a field probably is bullshit.
I think so.
But the idea that your environment, you know, causes problems in the organism does ring true to me. That piece of it.
I'd agree. Yep.
Well, I actually had a pretty good post today. I don't know if you saw it on fakeologist.com/blog.
Post it to the chat and we'll post it.
It was about, and I did quite a few posts, but I just lifted it from Amanda Vollmer's Telegram.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is what I do. because people might not have time to do that. So I'll do it. Because I have some time.
Man. Duh.
Amanda Vollmer. And her post was, well, it wasn't even hers. She got it from someone else, which is how the internet works.
Would have said where she got it from, because I couldn't fact check it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just logic. It makes sense. 14 reasons why millions of people once died from quote-unquote infectious disease.
Oh, I didn't think I saw that.
Why did so many people once die from diseases like smallpox? Were the people vaccine deficient, or is there more to the story? A glimpse into history soon reveals why disease was so rampant during the 1800s and early 1900s. I like this one. In Victorian England, the average life expectancy of the working class was just 16 years old. Wow. Those who made it to 30 or 40 years of age were old and worn out. Here's why. And I'm not going to read all the details of these points, but I'll just read them real fast. Overcrowding, lack of plumbing, contaminated drinking water, contaminated food supply, absent mothers, child labor, polluted air, lack of breastfeeding. And this is a funny one. I didn't realize formula came into vogue in the mid-1800s. It goes way back. Improper garbage disposal. Animals living with people or right beside them. Lack of cleanliness, malnutrition, bad medicine, mental and emotional stress. Note the lack of vaccines on the list. That's because vaccines do not save us from diseases like you and I have been led to believe. See, it wasn't so much that the diseases were killers on their own, but the horrendous living conditions made them so. People simply couldn't keep up their defenses against such a constant onslaught. So there you go. Makes sense to me.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. You challenge that? Go ahead.
I do. Yeah, I do. I don't have a good challenge to it. I just...
What?
I wasn't there. I know that they, you know, kill Gates, as Jeff likes to call him.
Mm-hmm.
His favorite book and... from a blog post was lying with statistics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they're doing. I mean, apparently not. We were told that many babies died 100 years ago before they were even born, mm-hmm. right in the hospital. And they tell us it's because doctors didn't wash their hands. Have you heard that?
I've heard of unclean... Well, first of all, I don't think most babies were delivered in hospitals.
That's my point. That's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That's what they tell us is happening. And how is it that we just saw, I didn't see it. My family loves watching these dog pregnancy things where they spit out all these litters.
Oh, yeah. Sounds fun.
Do you know how the umbilical cord comes off the mother from the pups?
She chews it off?
That's right.
Hey.
They
I never had a dog either.
Doctor to do that.
Neither do we. But they've made it.
How are we supposed to do it?
They've made pregnancy a medical condition. I don't know, a knife.
What does the average? How is a natural childbirth thing done?
Well, people had knives.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there?
So getting back to it, they're like, oh, it's because you were living next to animals. Really? Like
living with animals. No, living with animals. Like when they brought people off the farm into the cities, they brought their animals. So they'd be in the room with you or beside you.
What's wrong with that?
Because bacteria in animals does not belong with people.
Joel Salatin, America's favorite farmer, regenerative farmer, he drinks the same water that the cows drink out of for the bacteria. Never get sick.
All right. Well, there's such a thing called cholera. That's real.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
I do.
I think so.
Do you not
I
think
just
so?
Don't buy it. I don't buy it. No.
It's a bacteria called
we're
Vibrio
Genesis
cholerae.
And Malthusian.
And we can see bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's apparently a million viruses in a drop of seawater.
No, viruses we can't see. We can see bacteria.
I'm telling you, Time Magazine says so. It must be true.
No.
Sarcasm.
No, bacteria is real. Cholera is real.
Right. I mean, it's also another step to determine whether or not the presence of that organism causes any type of symptom, you know, et cetera, right? There's additional studies that would have to be done to prove that it's causing a disease or an illness. But I agree with you that bacteria is a real thing that we can prove and see.
Yeah, we need it.
Does that make it bad?
If it's on the wrong side of the membrane, yeah.
Oh, is it like living on the wrong side of the tracks?
Well, yeah, if bacteria gets on the wrong side of the membrane where it doesn't belong, yeah, it's dangerous.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why people let dogs lick their faces, because we know what dogs lick to clean themselves. So it's not a great idea.
Right. Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Now, does that stop people? No, it doesn't.
I don't think people think it through.
No, they don't.
People like... This is amazing. People go to hotels and they'll take their luggage, and guess where they put their luggage when they get to the hotel room?
On the bed.
On the bed.
But there is a stand in better hotels.
But well, yeah, but they still put it on the bed. And they don't think about it.
But you don't sleep on the cover of the bed.
Your luggage goes through, talk about quote unquote germs and bacteria. That is an endless parade of crap that it goes through. That accumulates on the luggage and you're throwing it on your bed. It's kind of like I had to leave a cafe the other day with my two sons, and this girl, she had three babies and she was changing the baby on the table that everyone eats on.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't think two things about it.
Well.
Can we move on to social credit scores?
Sure. Let's let's wrap it up at 2 hours. Let's leave them wanting more.
Okay, I have so many things. Let me read the list and you tell me what you want to talk about.
Well, let Andrew chime in too.
Well, always.
Yeah. We'll each pick a topic. 10 minutes each.
Okay, so here's the list. Social credit scores and your just social credit scores and your what browser you use. That's one.
Okay.
Censorship. The Inquirer says that they're removing comments. Next, communism. Karl Marx is the most assigned economist in U.S. college classes.
Yeah, I heard that.
Why you should talk to yourself in third person, which is part of the unpersoning movement. And 5 reasons weeds are the new superfood from the World Economic Forum.
Weeds are the new superfood.
Well, dandelion soup is delicious. No. What is this talk to yourself in the third person? I don't know that one.
Let's do that one. Let me move that one up to there.
Because I never heard that.
What did you say was part of unpersoning?
Yeah, it's part of unpersoning, I think. That's just my opinion. Take a look. So let's read this together, shall we? Boom. Okay. From Vice.com.
Vice. Why do you go to Vice?
I don't go there.
Well, who brought you there?
These links are sent to me.
Okay.
By people like Dante. Not saying Dante sent that one to me, but
no,
I get fed a lot of stuff. Why should talk to yourself in the third person? Evidence suggests that there are real benefits of talking to yourself in the third person, in your head, not out loud.
Yeah. People think you're crazy otherwise.
Distant self-talk also raises interesting questions about the ways that language influences our emotions and highlights the importance of psychological distance overall. If you're feeling overwhelmed, see if getting a little distance from yourself helps. That's what it is, all psychobabble. Psychobabble.
See if you can run. See how far you get running away from yourself.
Yeah.
Good luck.
You know James Altucher. I know Andrew knows of James. Do you know of him? I've mentioned him a couple times.
you've mentioned them many times.
Okay. Well, you listen to me diligently. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. He said on his website that the most searched for phrase to get to his website is "How do I kill myself?"
Oh God. Why is that? Does he have a manual?
No, he wrote he's always depressed. Like he's a millionaire six times over. Like he made millions, lost millions, and he did like six times. And each time he's like, "I want to kill myself. I was so broke, I want to kill myself." And apparently that shows up in the search engines and he gets the hits. Mm.
I do seem to remember some of his essays kind of going into his psychological state during all that. And I do believe he went into some pretty deep depressions. So I think he has some interesting things to say, right?
Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
So there's that. What else you want to talk about in the last 15 minutes?
What did you have on the social credit scores?
Let's talk about that. That was a good one. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. But Alan Watt predicted this. Here we go. From the IMF. They're admitting it. Take a look at this. What is really new in fintech? Blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. Where is this? Let's see. Let's search by browser. Here we go. Fintech resolves the dilemma by tapping various non-financial data, the type of browser and hardware used to access the internet, and ready for this, the history of online searches and purchases.
Huh.
This is going to – they're now admitting this is going to be part of your social credit score.
All right. Good luck.
Before it was a conspiracy theory, now the IMF, the one and only, is now admitting that they're going to use whether – Tim, you're screwed because if you don't have an Apple computer, you're going to have less of a credit score with your dumb PC. I guarantee it.
I'm happy for that.
You're not going to be able to travel because of that PC.
Yeah, right.
So it's essentially like social credit is kind of combining with just actual credit. It's just,
oh, yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
Same
financial
thing.
Financial credit and social credit. God, yeah. That's terrifying.
Terrifying. Especially the history of online searches and purchases, yeah.
Well, it could be. It's who's going to administer it? Is it going to be the one world government? Yeah, it can be. I guess it could only be accommodated by big data because it's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what Google knows about each one of us, though? Like, I've often thought about that just based upon my search history, and I think I've heard something somewhere that the profile that they've created of you could be damn accurate.
Well, have you heard of virtual twinning?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, type that in, virtual twinning. Allison McDowell talks about this a lot. Digital twin. So DARPA, which is the military, has been creating a digital clone of yourself forever.
Yeah, that's right. That does sound familiar. So it's like if they do – I mean they have the data. If they want to use it and roll it out in some type of wide-spanning system, I mean it's got to be alternatives. That's the only
point. And if you have Amazon Prime, you know it's in action. Do you want to get that I got it right here. Do you want to get that Redmond Real Salt again? You're probably running out.
I got Malden.
No, you want Redmond.
Well, Frank told me Malden. I listen to all things salt from
he
Frank.
He is the salt man.
He would know.
He also has a vested interest in telling you about malt.
No, he doesn't have anything to do with that one. I can't get.
I know
his
he
salt.
Does flake salt. That's right. He does flake salt.
No, he's in Australia though. They don't. I'm not going to order from Australia.
Right.
No, that's too far. I think it's too far.
So yeah, I mean, on Amazon a long time ago talked about that they would ship you stuff, and if you didn't want it, you can send it back. And I guarantee you, not many people send it back because they know everything about you. They know what you order. They know how often you order it.
That's true. It's a big database. And when they control most of the retail, I didn't realize they control with Walmart, 60% of all retail in India. I didn't even know they were in India. Of course, why would I? I'm not there, but that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you control all the data or all the deliveries, then you control all the information that goes with it.
You know, one thing I've skipped over, and I know, Tim, you're gonna love this. Let's just go right to it, whether you like it or not. Okay. Here's the headline. National Canadian Omnibus Study of 2,413 adults. Blah, blah, blah. A majority of voters across Canada oppose the government suspending civil liberties and rights, but surprisingly, 38% of voters support these actions. There is less opposition from females over the age of 35. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I posted that.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That was our government in Ontario. I think like many governments, they rule by polls. All they do is polls, 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 polls.
Yep.
And yeah, so if they think they got everyone on their side, then they ram it through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw this. I got the actual – someone did screen caps of the actual polls. And I put it on my blog. That's probably what this is.
I tried to find the polls are not live anymore because I tried to find them. They took them down, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might have needed a private link when they – Mm-hmm. So you actually got the link to the polls?
I tried to.
Oh, that would be cool.
Using my little hacking skills, and I couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the company that was doing the polls?
It's called
Compass, I think.
No. It's on the link that I just sent you.
Oh, okay, because you got that from Reddit?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's called campaignresearch.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually wrote to my member of parliament and just said, this is insane. You stop this right now.
Yeah, I'm sure that did a lot of good.
Well...
that sarcasm again. I got to stop with the sarcasm.
Well, I don't know. Does doing nothing do better?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. You talking to me right now is going to, as you always say, if it helps one person, which is bullshit, but if it helps one person, that's one more person than writing a letter to some parliament.
Well, he's my local representative. Okay, here it is. Yeah, it came from the website, No More Lockdowns. Yes, yes, yes. Crazy polling. Do you support or oppose police and health officials being authorized to separate people in your home by removing them and taking them somewhere else? That was one of the questions. So yeah,
and this link that I sent will give you, if you go through it, it'll tell you what the respondents are from male to female to yes, no. It's crazy.
Yeah,
people would agree to this.
Yeah, I've always said this, that this wouldn't work if people didn't agree with it.
Right.
I'm sorry to say, everyone I know is pretty much on board.
Yes.
That's crazy. Now, I don't think the guy that lost his restaurant's on board.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Actually, the guy that lost his restaurant is on the Kevin J. Johnson show that I listen to. And I'll put a link to that guy. I like him. We interviewed him. Odd and I. Do you want to just listen a bit to the restaurant guy? Live?
For a couple minutes?
At a protest, and they said I was in a group larger than 10. Now, the officer that wrote that ticket, when I showed up to my court case yesterday, they were there for another business that had opened up, the Whistle Stop. The Whistle Stop had opened up in Muir, Alberta, and they refused to close. They had their court date yesterday. There was over 100 people outside the courthouse in Red Deer, Alberta. They were protesting the fact that they were closing them down. The officer that issued my ticket for being in a group larger than 10, but it was a violation of my constitutional rights under the Freedom of Assembly Act. When that happened, the officer walks right up to me, and I'm sure you've had this kind of same similar situation. All of us have. Ed has Kevin has, you know, we actually, he comes up to me and he says, what are you doing here? And I said, well, thanks to you, I'm here because I have to go to court. He's like, oh yeah, that's right. I wrote you the ticket. And I was like, you're going to write anybody else here out here? Are you going to write anybody else a ticket? Oh yeah, we're going to write you a ticket. Not one person got a ticket yesterday. So the singled out targeting that happened.
Anyway, that's a bit of the Kevin J. Johnson show.
Wait, is that him interviewing Adamson's Barbecue?
Well, actually, they got four people on, and the guy talking is somebody else in Alberta. Oh. But I'll play
Adam,
a bit more.
You set a precedent. Here's Adam. This is why I wanted to come in here.
He's asking.
Because you
he's going to talk to Adam.
Motivated me once again, and it's hard to get this fat ass up off his ass and get out there. And I'm watching the F words, Kevin. I apologize, but you motivated me again. And then when I jumped out there and I got out there and I got to meet you in person, and I realized, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, this guy, and I've met him, and I'm proud to say that I could call you a friend. I met you at the rally that later on that day too, down at downtown Dundas. But this guy's just a regular guy. He's like you guys. He's like myself. He's like, you know, we're just hardworking people trying to make a buck. And they put in these laws. And even though the small businesses follow every strategic guideline, the small businesses follow all the social distancing, they put in every implementation of everything they say, but it's not good enough for you. It's good enough for us to go to Costco. That day we were there was Black Friday. 5,000 people were at that Costco down the street, and they were letting 5,000 people line up at that mall. It was at the mall. There was people at the mall, and then there was people at the Costco. But your small little business wasn't able to be open. And what people needed to know was, from an Alberta side, is that we stand with you. We stood beside you, no matter who we are.
This guy's going on a bit.
Everyday average people.
Yeah, I'm
we
bored.
All look at the opportunity.
All right, well, you know, they're fighting. Good for them. But it's a good show. I like Kevin. And Uncle Lod wants to be his campaign manager for mayor of Calgary. So there you go. Good for him.
Oh,
anyway. I know. Well, you don't like that, maybe, but.
Okay, so.
Okay.
I respect, Andrew likes to leave at 10 o'clock. He's got a real job that he has to go to, and I want to respect your time, Tim.
Thank you.
Also, I want to tell you a quick little story before we roll.
Sure.
Before I tell the story, once again, this is Tim from Fakeologist.com.
Hello.
I highly recommend that you go there, Fakeologist.com/blog and Fakeotube.com. If you're into videos rather than blogs, this is the place to go. It's fantastic. He curates. He just takes everything in, and it's filtered in a way that I feel very comfortable that he's putting stuff that I can trust up, which is really hard to find that. Uh-huh. And he has his own server, so it's going to be very difficult for the YouTube technocrats to want to take him down. Not impossible, but much harder than uh-huh. YouTube. So that's Tim. And Andrew talks to me. He lives south of Boston, Massachusetts. He talks to me every Thursday about Exclave. Exclave is Exclave Private Towns that I started officially on April 1st of this year. If you're sick of the new normal and you want to go back to the good life and you want to do it without wearing a mask and you want to do it without social distancing and without taking vaccines, I am, yes, building these towns all across the United States, Mexico, and Guatemala. And everyone says it's impossible, but I can't wait to prove everyone wrong. So if you like to watch my journey, you can go to escapethenewnormal.com, escapethenewnormal.com. And real quick, I have a story, a very exciting story. 2 days ago, I think it was, I was in a cafe where you don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to go in with a mask. It's optional. And this guy came in, and he's wearing a sweatshirt, and it said socialism distancing.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. So I screamed to him. I'm like, dude, I like your shirt. And he ignored me. So I said it even louder, which is crazy because I'm a very loud person. I said, dude, I really like your shirt. He ignored me again.
Strange.
Well, yeah. So then finally I waved with my hands and then he finally looked at me and I said, I really like your shirt. Make a very long story short. We spoke for, I think, an hour. I told him about Exclave. He said that he has a group of 20 plus people that had tried to do a similar Exclave idea, but they don't know how to do it. He was very excited to meet up with me. I asked him if he can come on tonight's call. He wasn't able to make it tonight, but might be able to make it next week. And the exciting news for Andrew is he asked about security. He's like, how are you going to keep the government out? And I said, well, I talk to this guy every Thursday night. He's big into having sheriffs, blah, blah, blah. And his eyes lit up. He goes, you're never going to guess who's in our group. And I said, who?
A sheriff.
And he's like, this guy recruits sheriffs for is it Sheriff Mac?
Andrew? I'm not sure.
Sheriff, you don't Mac. Know who Sheriff Mac is?
Is that from Arizona?
Yeah. So he's like a local go-to guy for sheriffs here in Pennsylvania.
Gotcha.
And he's involved with this group. Needless to say, I said, listen, if you want me to like talk to your group, like say the word and I'll do it. So there's a lot of things in flux right now. We'll see if it works out or not. And cool. Maybe next Thursday we can have him on and have the sheriff come. So we'll see about it.
That'd be interesting. Did he did he agree that, like, I don't know, what was his take on working with sheriffs? Like, what is his whole position on
that?
Yeah,
he liked that idea. He's like, you're not going to believe who's in our group. And what's very interesting is I was 35 minutes away at this cafe. I'm like, well, where does this guy live? And he didn't know. And I got his name, and I looked up his name, and he's literally my neighbor. He's literally across the street from me. Like, I can walk to his house. So we'll see how that works out. And if it doesn't work out, we keep marching on. We're going to make it happen either way.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Any final thoughts, guys, before we go?
Just keep on keeping on. Just fight the good fight. I don't know what's happening in the U.S., so I'll have to listen to the No Agenda show because it's now ready to go. That's where I get my American news, to be honest with you, because things are moving so quickly, it's just hard to keep up. But are you guys...
Talk to me.
Are you guys, well, for Pennsylvania, are you guys relaxing at all, or what's happening?
What does that mean, relaxing?
Are they relaxing the guidelines?
Or
whatever's happening
down,
there?
Cases are down 40%. They're opening things up.
Okay.
But so I don't trust that. I just think that's part of the marketing, is that there's constantly layering of the moving of the goalposts. That's part of the strategy.
Well, it's just a relaxing. It's a conditioning. It's just a relaxing. 100%. It'll be restricting. It's like a boa constrictor.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're under severe lockdown still. So there's, for all accounts, there's no end in sight.
Yeah, but you're getting paid. At least you're getting paid.
There are lots of people, I think, getting a couple grand a month, which is way more than you're getting.
We're getting zero. We got $600 last month. That's it.
Now, who was that courtesy of, Trump or new guy?
It was Trump's last.
Okay.
600 smackers.
I read somewhere that only the first amount of money went out, but you're saying no, the second amount did go out.
Right. So we got a May payment and a January payment.
Okay.
You're getting paid every month to watch TV.
Some of them are. Yeah. I don't know because I'm not on that list, but I guess some people are. But in Toronto, they've already said they're going to continue their bylaw enforcement of the orders until June. And then Niagara Falls said, we're going to get ready to welcome people to Niagara Falls on June 19th. And we're still in February here. So I don't know where they get these dates from, but that's what I read today. And overall in the province, he's saying he might relax some things next week.
Wow.
So what does that mean? I have no idea. There's just overall, it's just clamp down, slam down, COVID hotels. But luckily there's a few people out there that know the laws. Like, I didn't realize bylaws. Do you have bylaws where you are?
No.
You never heard of a bylaw?
Not in the United States.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's how they give out parking tickets. If you get a parking ticket in your area, what authority is it issued under? Who writes it? Is it a police officer?
No, it's the parking authority.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. And if you don't, so what is the authorization that they have to collect money from you? If you choose to pay it?
They have a little electronic device, and they scan your license plate, and then it prints it out on your window.
No, but I'm saying, what's the authority that it's issued to you?
The parking authority.
I know, but what compels you to pay it? Why would you?
Oh, if you don't pay it, then you can lose your license.
Your driver's license or your car license plate?
Driver's license.
So they've linked it to the state driver's license system.
I think so. I'm not for sure on that, but I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, here it's a bylaw, so it's a bylaw officer that writes the ticket, but they've abused the word bylaw to issue tickets for all these mandates and orders. And this guy I watch, Kevin J. Johnson, here in Toronto, he's saying a bylaw only applies if you work for the corporation.
Right.
So if
you
don't.
That's that whole common law thing.
No, but it works. He's done it.
Yeah, and I've heard that Chris Guy talk about that too, which is great, except for the schmo who doesn't do it right and winds up in worse condition in jail because they did it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you get out of jail eventually, but they can still put you in jail for no reason. We all know that.
Why, like, why would you fight that? It's like, by the way, Andrew, if you have to roll, I know we're probably gonna going to keep going.
I'll end it because I'm gassing on now. That's okay.
No, but to finish off, I mean, again, this is the problem. This is what I keep talking about with Todd. It's like, and I think I hear Todd kind of relenting, saying maybe I don't want to go to jail. Like, there are a lot of these common law people who do all these things that John Jay talk about, which is not wrong. I'm not saying he's wrong. It's very clever and it's good.
This is Kevin Jay. Yeah.
I'm talking about like John Jay, like when
John Jay Singleton talks about. Lots of jazz.
How to do the NOLs and all that kind of stuff. He's probably right, but these guys, these motherfuckers, they just make shit up and throw you in jail. Is it worth it? If you have a family, is it worth it?
Well, I can't, but maybe these guys can. And I still support it.
I don't.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I'm a man of principle, but these guys just make stuff up. You can't win. It's very – too many people go to jail. Mm-hmm. I see it happen all the time. I've been following this stuff forever. That's why I watch James Freeman. I watch these audits, these First Amendment audits. I love it. I mean, it's like instead of watching football, I watch that stuff. But these guys are not showing you everything. James Freeman is not showing you him going to jail because he went too far.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen
that. He went too far.
All right. Well, I'm out. I'm done.
Okay.
And a shout out to the Republic of Moldova, Chisinau. They just logged in 5 minutes ago to listen in. I had to look it up. Republic of Moldova. That is near Romania. And
shout out to the Republic.
Shout out. That's actually its own place. It's between Romania and Ukraine. So shout out to Chisinau. Never heard of you, but I'm glad to meet your acquaintance. I'm glad you're listening to three
Population
really wise men.
15.
Okay. That's 1 out of 15. Listen to the show. Fantastic.
That's a good percentage. Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, Ab, always appreciate and enjoy the opportunity to speak with you, sir. So thank you, sir.
Yeah, nice chatting, and we'll try and make it more routine. I might up my audios now that I have less real work to do. And
go for it, yeah.
You guys,
yeah, look as long as you can.
Yeah, you guys are welcome too. And we'll keep a regular rotation maybe for a while until the next wave comes or goes. So great talking to you guys.
Great. Cheers.
Cool. All right.
Take care.
Have a great night.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.